Tonight's shiur, Mitzvah Hashem, in this week's parasha we find a very important possible mitzvah. We'll discuss whether it's a mitzvah or not. That's somewhat debatable. But Yish of Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, is it an obligation? Is it a reshus, but a mitzvah if you fulfill it? Is it a good thing, but neither reshus or chiyuv mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah, it's just a positive thing. You know, there's certain things, certain midos and other things that we work on ourselves that clearly they're positive, but they're not necessarily what we would technically call a mitzvah. Or is it nothing? And perhaps, is there even a reason why one shouldn't live there bedavka or in mass? Certainly we'll see certain perspectives that address it. The reason why it's very pertinent to this week's parasha, this one is actually a much bigger connection, is in this week's parasha it tells us that we're to inherit the land, and the Ramban mentions that he sees this as a mitzvah saseh. So we need to address this. Now, whether or not it's a mitzvah, the Ramban does give this framework for Eretz Yisrael. He discussed it in several places in his parish in Chumash, that the mitzvahs really pertain to Eretz Yisrael. Every land has a unique connection. We know from other places that every land has a malach, a portion to it that controls, so to speak. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything, but he's doing an Aide Malach in every area, with the exception of Eretz Yisrael, which is directly ruled and influenced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means. Perhaps more of a hashkacha pratis would be another way to demonstrate or discuss that concept. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mitzvos in a different way. This unique connection we have, it's the place where Shemayim and Eretz connect. So when living there, you can affect the entire world and the entire universe. And the way to do that is to keep Torah and mitzvos. So the appropriate place to keep Torah and mitzvos is in Eretz Yisrael. Keeping Torah and mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael doesn't count, essentially, says the Ramban. This is why he suggests the Avos, we find that they did keep the mitzvahs of Chazal, attributed certainly to Avram, and he assumes also the other Avos did keep all mitzvahs. And when discussing that concept, he says, while they did keep them, we find instances when it's apparent that they did not. He says those were in cases when they were in Chutzlitz. Why? Because keeping mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz really doesn't seem to make sense. Why do we keep mitzvahs in Chutz La'aretz if we're not effectively doing mitzvos? So Ramban tells us it's a very basic concept. We took an oath at Sinai. We said we're going to keep them. So we have a shibud haguf. We have a responsibility. We have a chiv to do them. So we're doing it because we have a chiv. Almost as if we're going through the motions. But realistically, we only accomplish what the intent of the mitzvahs is to do. We're only really doing mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, and everywhere else, says the Ramban, is just because we took an obligation to perform these actions, which would essentially be appropriate mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So it definitely gives a significant amount of chashivas to Eretz Yisrael. We find the Gemara in Ksuvos and other Rishonim discuss how different elements of Eretz Yisrael. It's the beauty of it is expressed by Chazal, and the importance of it and the love of it that many Gedolim have had, to literally roll around in its dust, the Gemara has, because it's such an important idea. And it's been given to us by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's obviously an important concept. The question is practically right now in today's day and age, should we, or could we, and are we to live there? It's of note that Rashi asks, the famous Rashi, bringing from the Medrash from Rabbi Yitzchak, the first Rashi in Chumash, why did we start with Bereishis? If the purpose of the Torah is to start with, is really mitzvos, Chodesh HaZelechem, which is the first Mishnah mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael via Moshe Rabbeinu, so it really should have started from there. And Rashi says, because we need the build-up to show you that Eretz Yisrael is properly given to Klal Yisrael. Hashem created the world. It's His to give it to whomever He wishes. Therefore, if He so chooses to give it to the Jewish people, the other nations have no taina, because they're not the owners of it. So even if they inhabited it prior to our inheriting it, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to choose whoever He wants to live and to inherit that land. So
Rashi Lishitasa.
That is Rashi. What do you mean, Rashi?
Other Rishonim learned that they actually tried to requested peace from him.
Okay, there's a Rambam that discusses that there's an idea to you know call it in peace, and you know that's a different
thing. Since all the nations decided to fight instead, and they all lost.
Correct, but practically, you know, I don't think that these other Rishonim disagree. It's a Medrash Rashi's coming from it. There's a common misconception. I don't think it's as pertinent nowadays because we have more access to Midrashim, but it used to be taught that Rabbi Yitzchak there was his father. And it wasn't the Medrash that it's Rashi's father.
They say because they couldn't find the Medrash anywhere.
Right. But nowadays, you know, we have more access, as I said, to things. So we do know it is a Medrash, and Rabbi Yitzchak is not Rashi's father. Whether he picked that Medrash specifically, because it would almost as if using the same name, I don't know. Whatever you want to say, you could say. Either way, Lemaisa, I have a hard time hearing that these Rishonim would necessarily, if they were familiar, which I don't know if they were familiar with that Medrash, but assuming they were, most of them were certainly familiar with Rashi's writings, and would probably have assumed it was a Medrash. I don't know that they're disagreeing with it. They're just saying practically that may not have occurred at that point in time that you're mentioning. But practically, if somebody were to say, Klal Yisrael is not entitled to Eretz Yisrael, this is the response. Either way, we see this Medrash, the focus of it is, and certainly Rashi, by bringing this Medrash, just the Torah is starting out to tell us this, even though the purpose is mitzvahs, perhaps it plays into what the Ramban's assessment that we just mentioned a few minutes ago also, that mitzvahs really only pertain to Eretz Yisrael. But either way, you see it's an important part, obviously, of it's the fabric of and fiber of our being, really, to a significant degree is Eretz Yisrael, Torah, Klal Yisrael. These are the things that are able to, the Torah is what's to be used, Eretz Yisrael is the place, and Klal Yisrael are the people who adequately serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper fashion. So, you know, it's a key component to proper Avodas Hashem. Is it a mitzvah or not? So the Ramban, as I mentioned before, says it's a mitzvah sase from this week's parasha. It says we're supposed to inherit the land, and therefore he says it's a mitzvah sase. Should we choose to say we're going to take over Eretz Shinar, which would essentially be Bavel instead, or any other land? That's just an example he gives. He said we would actually be in violation of an asay. It should be one of the 613 mitzvahs, and it would be listed as one of the mitzvahs asay.
According to Ramban, there's a certain zman.
He does not mention any zman. He says it's a mitzvah. It seems
it's only if David or something like that. But there's a king in the land. It has to be.
He doesn't mention any of that. It's an unqualified statement. He says there's a mitzvah to say for us to live there. The question is, what's the Rambam Shita? And that's where there's a lot of discussion. The Rambam does not list anywhere that living in Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. So that's a glaring omission. And especially with the Rambam, was very methodical in how he classified the mitzvahs. Nowhere in Mishneh Torah either does he seem to indicate that there's a mitzvah to live there. So that being the case, we have this concern that it's not there. Does the Rambam disagree with the Ramban? Now, keep in mind, even if the Rambam were to argue with the Ramban, so we'll have a machlokas rishonim on a mitzvah saseh deraisa. Now, it is a mitzvah saseh. Mitzvah saseh, just in general, we have to recognize one is not responsible to give up a chomesh, 20% of their estate to do it. That doesn't mean that one can't necessarily, that's a different shear, how much should and can one spend to perform a mitzvah. But the obligation isn't there necessarily. Now that it's possibly a mechlokas, Rambam and Ramban, and we'll see whether or not the Rambam holds that way. So that's something to keep in mind. And we also will address some other shitos But just putting it out there is that, you know, here we have this Rambam who has something going on, and we're not sure exactly what. What does the Rambam hold? So, the Megillas Esther, it's a sefer written 17th century, I believe, written on the Rambam. We're not talking about Megillas Esther, obviously, the part of Tanakh, but that's the name of this sefer. So, he wrote on Sefer Mitzvahs. If you open up in the Mishneh Torah, you're not going to find the Megillas Esther, because that's not what he wrote on. He wrote on the Sefer Mitzvahs. It's found on the Daf. It's not something difficult to find. And the Ramban, who points out the Rambam's Mitzvahs that he forgot, so to speak, in the Ramban's opinions, so the Ramban does point out that he classifies this as a Mitzvah Saseh, and he feels that the Rambam, you know, has not done so, but, you know, essentially the Rambam should have done so. So the Megillas Esther says that the truth is, the omission is telling, and the fact of the matter is, it must be that the Rambam holds that there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But he's not willing to give up the Ramban's proof. The Ramban has a pasuk that indicates that we're to conquer and to inherit Verashtem, we're to inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael. So he's kind of in between. How does he address the pasuk? At the same time, the Rambam left it out. So he doesn't say...
The consequence would be that there's really no mitzvah to Truman Meister, there's no mitzvah...
The Rambam says there is a mitzvah to Truman Meister.
I'm responsible to build a base of Mikdash, because I'm responsible to...
No, the Rambam says that there is a mitzvah to build a base of Mikdash.
But there's no responsibility to get in there.
Well, so you have to... There are a few things that you have to address, and there's a very big difference between building a base of Mikdash and Truman Meister. There's no mitzvah to Eretz Yisrael. If I don't have a four-cornered baguette. If I'm wearing a four-cornered baguette, I must put on tzitzis. When I'm wearing that baguette. I don't have a responsibility to purchase a four-cornered baguette midraisa in order to fulfill that. Now, we can talk about whether I'm punished for not doing that. And that could be machlokas Ramban and Tosos, pertinent to today's day and age when people don't... That's not their normal mode of clothing. At least non-Jews don't wear four-cornered garments in today's day and age. So since it's not a normal behavior... by not wearing tzitzis, you're not excluding yourself, you're not doing something different. So we discuss whether or not in Ibn Adriska, at the time when it's Hashem, so to speak, angry for other things, whether if somebody's punished for, you know, just not doing tzitzis, which is a relatively easy mitzvah to perform, but forgetting that in a very technical sense, there's no mitzvah midraisa to wear tzitzis. Only if I'm wearing a four-cornered baguette, then there's a mitzvah saseh to wear tzitzis on that, but I don't have to go out and purchase that baguette. There is no mitzvah to, for me to make a shahakol any point in time. I can always make sure that I wash and bench. But in the event that I'm eating a certain product that requires a bracha of shahakol, so then I need to make that bracha. Trumas and maestros are, if I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, and I have those products, some derisa, some derabanan, depending what type of product we're talking about, then I have to take trumas and maestros. Now, if there was a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, there would be an independent reason why I have to get myself there. Once I'm there, I would probably have to perform trumas and maestros if I wanted to eat appropriately. If I only want to, let's say I'm on a zero-carb diet, and I'm just eating meat all day, so then I'm not going to have to do that. So, the trumas and maestros don't necessitate me being in Eretz Yisrael. When I'm there and I want to eat those products, I have to. Building a base in English, the Rambam does count as a mitzvah, and I do have to build that. If that means that I need to get there, then there's a hechsher mitzvah that I have to get there. I need to build a sukkah. Does that mean I have to chop down a tree to get wood? So that I can build my sukkah?
The Rambam says, yeah, a person has to spend money.
So that's the hechsher mitzvah. Meaning, I have to make sure to do it however I do it. But that doesn't mean that the chopping of wood is part of the mitzvah to say. It may be a hechsher mitzvah, it may be important, it may be what we'll call a mitzvah, a good thing to do, so to speak, but in a technical sense, it's not a mitzvah to say with the rice of the chopping of the tree, it's just preparing to build my sukkah. So to enter into Eretz Yisrael, to build a Beis HaMikdash, that would be the hechsher to do it, and then, perhaps we'll see what the Megillas Esther is talking about here in a second, perhaps then I could leave if I so desired.
He wants them both to base a mitzvah.
Correct. Now the problem is, the Megillas Esther's reason why the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah, as he says, that it's only part of the building of the base of Mikdash. I misspoke. It's not pertinent unless we have a base of Mikdash and all those other factors that necessitate us being in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps Melech Mashiach, perhaps not, but certainly with a Beis HaMikdash built, when we have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, then one is required to live there. But since it's not pertinent to every generation, therefore I don't have to count it as a mitzvah because of a loophole. So as a mitzvah, so it's not a mitzvah in today's day and age. Okay, so it's not a mitzvah.
So what about all the other mitzvahs that are pertinent to the Beis HaMikdash?
We have a chiyuv to build it. Until we do it, then those don't necessarily come about. One can ask on some of these questions. But the Megillah Sasser says it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah in today's day and age, certainly, to live in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Rambam. The Ramban says it is.
Even though the Rambam knows that there's still Kedushas Haaretz?
Even though the Rambam clearly does hold there's still Kedushas Haaretz. Correct.
But he still wouldn't hold that it's not the same Kedusha as having the Beis HaMikdash.
Correct.
What's the difference? That's the hope.
One's to necessitate a mitzvah, and one is just an Indian of Kedusha that other mitzvahs are pertinent to the land. But it's exactly this is the nafkamina somewhat.
So only men have to go to...
No, nobody has to go ever.
Once you have the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, then if there's a mitzvah, so you should bear so at that point in time, then maybe everybody has it at that point in time.
There could be.
If women aren't highly building...
It's an independent mitzvah. It's just not pertinent right now.
Just once it's basement, it's in the good time.
Correct.
It'll be a separate mitzvah.
Right. It would seem.
Why wouldn't the Rambam write that?
The Rambam doesn't count mitzvahs that aren't noeg l'donos. It's a loophole, so to speak. It's a classification idea. And it's not pertinent nowadays.
So why isn't it based on mitzvah?
Because we do have to do it now. Yep. The Rambam holds we have to do that right now. We just don't know how.
We don't know. We do what? We don't know.
Well, we're unable for both reasons. Both, there are a lot of things we don't know what to do, and also we're unable politically right now. It would be catastrophic.
And Bismarck and Rambam was the same thing?
I think it was probably more difficult to try to build something at that point in time. That mosque is there since the Byzantine era, I believe, so that's pretty old. I don't know if it was a mosque then, but there have been structures there and inhabitants that aren't exactly wanting us to build a Beis HaMikdash. I believe the last known attempt of them, there was government sanction to build it, was, I think, like around the year 360. And that did not fall, that did not work out. Julian the Apostate, it was a whole mess. He was only in for a couple years. Fine. So, that being the case, it's not a mitzvah according to nowadays, and that's why the Rambam didn't count it, plain and simple. A little support to this is the Rambam does mention Hilchos Melachim that a person is allowed to live anywhere. There's no iser to live in Chutz La'aretz. With the exception of living in Mitzrayim, one has to address how the Rambam lived there, and he himself, in certain correspondence that he has, maybe did fault himself or, you know, found that it wasn't as good of a thing that he was living in Mitzrayim. That's a separate Isser, that's a different Shir, perhaps. What is Asr, what's not Asr, not going back to Mitzrayim. I mean, living there, exactly. At the same point in time...
The Mitzrayim have to be there. The Mitzrayim have to be there. They're not Mitzrayim there.
Well, that's a different discussion, what the Isser is. But either way, the Rambam says in Mishnah Torah that it's mutter to live anywhere in Chutz La'aretz with the exception of Mitzrayim. So if there's a mitzvah saseh, you'd presumably be violating a mitzvah saseh if you didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the fact that he writes it, it indicates that there is no mitzvah, which is exactly what the Megillas Esther is asserting. Now, some points to still point out. The Rambam does, just like we mentioned the Gemara Ksubos, which lauded the praises of Eretz Yisrael, the Rambam does record those. So even if it's not a mitzvah, he still seems to advocate that it's a beautiful thing, and a beautiful land, and one should love the land. And as we said, Gedolei, you know, Torah, talking from times of Gemara, and perhaps even earlier, used to roll around in its dust because of their immense love for Eretz Yisrael. So he records that, but it's just not necessarily a mitzvah, according to this Megillas Esther. One thing that we do need to address, though, is the Rambam does say, basically coming from a Gemara, that in the event that you're trying to purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael from a non-Jew, you have certain dispensations on Shabbos, perhaps utilizing Goyim to help you out to facilitate the sale, even though they're normally violations of Shabbos. You're allowed to violate Shabbos in certain regards in order that you purchase your house, because Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a very big thing. So, is it a mitzvah? Now, we naturally want to say there's a mitzvah which is allowing me to override certain Yisurim, especially if they're only Derabbanan that we're talking about. We'll say that, you know, b'mkom mitzvah, they weren't gozer, especially, which very much seems as the case, a mitzvah of Kiyai Gavna, which is such a fantastic mitzvah. At the same point in time, the Rambam missed this mitzvah in his Sefer HaMitzvah. The Megillah Sester Song says it's not a mitzvah, according to the Rambam. That being the case, we would have to say, which puts us in a little bit of an uncomfortable position, it's not a mitzvah exactly, but it's something that's such a good thing that the Chachamim allowed you to violate Shabbos in certain ways, specifically maybe Ayidei Goy, so it may only be Derabbanan, in order that you are allowed to purchase the home there for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's a little pelvic.
Would this purchase the home be a mitzvah, or just if you already have a home, you just purchase another home there? That'd be another mitzvah.
It could be the eradication of the non-Jewish person there by you creating more of a Jewish presence there. One would need to get into the nitty-gritty. Are you bringing more Jews to live there, or are you just purchasing more homes? Exactly what's going on, that would need to be defined. At the same point in time, clearly though, it's coming from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and we need to address if it isn't a mitzvah, like the Megillah Sester is saying, what's this heter coming from? So the Tashbetz, who's late Rishon, he says that the Rambam really does hold that it's a mitzvah to say. He didn't count it. There are a lot of things that the Rambam didn't count because of technicalities. He didn't count it because it's a mitzvah kolius. Overall mitzvahs that basically do good, things that are mitzvahs and they're enumerated in the Torah, so the Rambam doesn't count them. But they're still mitzvahs. So since they're still mitzvahs, so they're just not numbered as 613. If you really break down how many mitzvahs we have that are enumerated in the Torah, that are halachas that one must or mustn't do, you'll find many more than 613. So mitzvah klalis, these overarching umbrella mitzvahs, as you will, you know, v'yasisa, yashar, v'atov, perhaps, things that are very generic, are not counted. The Tashbetz says the Rambam clearly has to hold that. Now, what we need to address, according to the Tashbetz's understanding of the Rambam, so let's say it is a mitzvah now, and there's a loophole why you didn't count it. Not a loophole like you said with the Megillah Sester, that it's not a mitzvah, like the Megillah Sester says, but it is a mitzvah. It's just that a mitzvah that's ready to be counted in the minyan mitzvahs. Okay, so why then is it mutter to live anywhere in the world with the exception of Mitzrayim? I understand why it's also to live in Mitzrayim. It's a separate pasuk and perhaps another shir. What exactly that means? Can I visit there on a trip? Whatever it is, I wouldn't recommend right now with all the political upheaval going on there. But that's a different reason. Lamaisa, what is the heter to live outside of Eretz Yisrael? And Tashbetz, you know, would need to address that within his understanding of the Rambam. The Avnei Nezer, the famous Avnei Nezer, also has a similar approach to the Tashbetz, although he takes a different angle, and that is he also says it's a mitzvah, and once again this will help how one is able to purchase a home even on Shabbos and to override certain elements of Shabbos in order to facilitate Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but as a technicality it's just not listed as the 613, and it's because it's perhaps nichlal in conquering the land of the Shivas Amamin and things of that nature. So that being the case, it is a mitzvah. He also would need to address, so what's the heter to live in Chutz La'aretz? Now, let's put this on hold for a minute, because we have two ways to read the Rambam. One is that it's a mitzvah, one is that it's not a mitzvah. We have one way to read the Ramban, essentially. And let's just bring another shita from the Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, who's from the Bali Tosos, is found in Ksubas, and he says that one is not required to go to Eretz Yisrael because the roads traveling is very dangerous in his day and age, And it's very difficult to perform the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it's better not to live there when you're not going to be violating all the mitzvahs, because it's going to be impossible to do so, than to live there and be in violation of the mitzvahs.
So, what do you mean by difficult? They're very difficult. The halachas are just very intrinsic.
He doesn't say, but if we assume,
very difficult.
If we assume, and it makes sense, it would seem based on the time period, it seems that it was just a very financial, big financial hardship. Trumas and Maestros and other things, they're very technical. Perhaps not a lot was written, or I shouldn't say, maybe many people weren't as familiar with it. Nowadays we have Baruch Hashem, a lot of things in English, certainly Hebrew, and a lot of for the people types of Sfarim. There wasn't necessarily. Well, we have enough on Trumas and Maestros. You're right, that Yerushalmi is going to be more pertinent, but Trumas and Maestros are found throughout Shas. But also, keep in mind that you didn't have a tremendous yishuv there, so it was difficult, you know, you didn't have as much of a Jewish presence. There's never been a lack of Jewish presence since the times of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's waxed and waned, and, you know, at different points in history, if there aren't many Jews there, it's not going to necessarily be as easy to live there, and therefore keeping many of the mitzvos are going to be difficult due to financial hardship, perhaps political hardship, and perhaps ignorance, and certainly the traveling there is going to be difficult. So, what's clear is he holds it is a mitzvah to live there. If not, he wouldn't have to justify why it's mutter not to. So, he holds it's a mitzvah, but he holds that due to these factors, it's better not to perform this mitzvah. If you're told you have a mitzvah that you can perform, but in order to do it, you're going to have to do a tremendous aveira, we generally don't allow you to do that mitzvah. Then say kumase avera in order to do a mitzvah. So therefore, since it's going to happen, and because he also holds that it's very dangerous to get there, so it's a sakana. One's not allowed to put himself. You don't say that this person is you know, very ill. Tell him to fast on Yom Kippur because you know it's a mitzvah, even though it's going to put them at great risk. Chas v'shalom. We don't say that v'chayim bohem. Person has to take care nishmartim od. Person has to take care of their health. They're not allowed to do it. So he has to justify not living in Eretz Yisrael with these reasons. But without these reasons, he would have told you you have to do it. It's a hard argument to make in today's day and age that those reasons are applicable. Certainly, the travel, you get on a plane. Plane travel is much safer than traveling by car on the highways. So, you get on a plane, it's not always comfortable, flying coach, whatever it is, but, you know, it's not dangerous, per se.
Expense
is a factor, and we said it's a mitzvah sasei, and a mitzvah sasei, one is required to give up to 20% of their wealth. So that's a significant amount of one's wealth, and it certainly is a concern, because obviously the economic situation there is not comparable to how it is in many other countries, certainly not how it is in the States. So you're giving up a lot. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just pointing out the sheet of Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen is, clearly there is a mitzvah, like the Ramban, but he justifies not going because of those reasons, and one just has to assess whether they're pertinent to his personal situation or not. Trumas Hadeshin has another reason, and he says that if somebody's going to go there, times are tough there. And, you know, are times as tough nowadays in Eretz Yisrael as they were in the times of the Trumas Hadeshin? I don't think so. Must be a lot of air conditioning and heating and, you know, all sorts of luxuries. At the same point in time, you do have to compare it relative to the person's expectations. So the person, obviously there is Mesiras Nefesh required for mitzvos, person not willing to be Mesiras Nefesh to any degree whatsoever, that's not a good midah. However, he says if one is going to go there and because of the hardships or whatever it's going to be, they're going to have less Yiras Shamayim and they're going to be, you know, repulsed by it in a way, then it's better that he not live there than to live there and really be very dissatisfied and upset with the situation and you know, certainly having animosity towards Eretz Yisrael and towards the Torah. Now, that might not be for the same reasons that the Truma Sedation has, but that may be pertinent to many people in today's day and age. Obviously, it's a very different culture. Raising children there is very different. The political situation, I don't just mean the structure of the democracy there versus the structure of the democracy in the States, but things are a lot more polarized there in terms of factions of Jews, because in many ways there is a very different political system and money is allocated to different institutions throughout, so everything is fighting for money too. Everything is political there. You can't get around it. Rabbanim, many Rabbanim, are actually in political parties and heading political parties. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying somebody coming from a very different lifestyle, being thrust into that, may resent it because it goes against what he's accustomed to. So that's a personal decision that one has to be truly intellectually honest about. And raising children in an environment like that, I'm not being judgmental. I'm saying how it is very clearly. Some people are comfortable and like that. Some people dislike that very much and become very turned off by certain elements of Torah and rabbinic authority when they see it in the fashion that it's portrayed over there. And therefore, that's a very big concern, not for the reasons that the Truma Sedation said why somebody would be disillusioned by living there and the hardships that would make him upset and resentful, but the same sentiment could be unfortunately acquired by many who are moving there. So that's something to keep in mind. But what is important to note also is he clearly is holding that it's a mitzvah to live there. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't have to justify what the heter not to live there is. So we have, once again, we have the Rambam who appears to be a Das Yachid. Even the Rambam, we have ways to understand that he is really saying that there's a mitzvah.
He doesn't say it's not a mitzvah, he just doesn't say.
Right. So, it's for one to decide. Now, practically, there are a lot of reasons why one wouldn't, and perhaps shouldn't. I think the Truma Sedation would tell you, you should not live in Eretz Yisrael if you're going to have that those concerns. Rabbi Chaim Cohen is telling you, don't go if there's going to be sakana in the travel, or when you go there, you're not going to be able to perform the mitzvahs. So, there are real reasons not to go. It just is telling you, though, it might be a mitzvah, but there's reasons for you not to perform this mitzvah at this point in time. And obviously, as we've mentioned the whole time, if it's a mitzvah to say, then there's always the general idea of 20%. Now, there's another aspect to this, and this is something that we've kind of left out. This is something that Satmar Rav held very strongly about, and something that needs to be somewhat addressed, and that is, the Gemara Ksuba says that when Klaishah went into Galus, there were three shvuas that were essentially stated. Three oaths that were put on mankind. One was Klal Yisrael would not take Eretz Yisrael by force. Another is that we would not rebel against the Goyim. And the third was the Goyim would not persecute us too harshly. So,
How did the Jews rebel against
to them? Throw off their rule? Whereas obviously, once we went into Gauls, we were being subjugated by other nations, so we were not supposed to rebel against the guy. That could be not within the context of Eretz Yisrael. Keep in mind, theoretically, we could have an independent state of Khazar and throw off the ruling Khuzarim.
So we're saying, Do we never go to the Hashmonai revolt?
Well, this oath seems to indicate that we shouldn't have, or it wasn't meant to be. The question is, how do you read this? The Satmar Rav read very strongly that there's an Isser. There's an Isser to take it by force. So, this brings now into question, by us living there, if we move there, we're facilitating a Jewish state which seems to be against the idea of the oath. Even if you yourself aren't taking it by force, it's already established, which that is something we have to address. Is there a difference once it's been established or once it's not? Here's some points to just keep in mind. Number one, none of the halachas, so to speak, of the Rishonim, such as the Rambam or others, mention this prohibition. We have the sugya, it's explicit in Ksuvas, why didn't the Rambam mention it? That it's asur. So, that's something that needs to be taken into account. Obviously, the Sadmar Rav held it was asur. The other thing is, the other thing to keep in mind is it's in the Gadatei Gemara. How do we take a Gadato? The Maral understands this to mean that these are certain facts of life, essentially, that there was a shua that was taken. We didn't take the shua per se, or we didn't stand to that it should be binding for all generations. HaKadosh Baruch made it that this is the way it's going to be, essentially, and it should be, but it's not actually Aser, it's just the intent. So if it's not Aser, then maybe this is the way the world was supposed to run until whatever point in time HaKadosh Baruch decided that things should change. Who knows exactly what? But keep in mind, if it's not Aser, and there's a mitzvah to say to live there, so you're right, one could have lived there without taking it by force. Since it's been taken by force, it's facilitated millions of Jews to live there, more so than pretty much any time since the Churban Bayis, and shortly after when everybody dispersed. So we have to address it. This halacha, so to speak, of the Gemara Ksuvos is not necessarily recorded as halacha. Maybe it's not meant to be taken as halacha. It's just an ideology. As I said, the Rambam didn't mention that as an Isser. The Ramban doesn't qualify his as an Isser Aseh in his Mitzvah Aseh. When he talks about it, Chumash Sadash and Tashmi, it's not there. Meshech Chachma writes, as if it is a concern, so he did feel it was a concern, someone does not Rav, but he says, that's only when the Gaim were being Makbid. But the fact that the Balfour declaration was made, the Gaim said, come on in, essentially. So once they said that's it, that's it. Additionally, the fact that the Gaim persecuted us, which was number three, so if they didn't keep their end of the bargain, so to speak, if you look at the oaths as being intertwined, which one doesn't have to, but theoretically if one would, you'll say, well, if they gave up on theirs, we can give up on ours. Now, I'm not sure exactly. I know that I personally lean towards the fact that the Rishonim did not cite this as a mitzvah or an iser, so I'm not sure whether it's against the intent, but I do know that practically it's not usher per se. Now, realistically nowadays, the fact that it's already been taken, so it's a moot point. I don't know. I personally lean towards, doesn't sound like it was a halachic concern, but even if it was, that's it. So I should stop being mekayim mitzvah aseh midraisa for this ideology, which is essentially already over, and just because now it's allowing it to continue somewhat, it's a very difficult thing to assert. That I should give up on the mitzvah aseh midraisa.
Well, that's a different question. So how come the day of the Rambam didn't a whole group of Jews decide to move there and take over its throne?
I don't think it was practical.
Practical in 1948?
Sure, because the UN with the Balfour Declaration and the British being there and the different aspects going on, yes.
And
was it
any other time in history when they...
There was no other time in history when all the forces were, so to speak, ripe for that to happen. Which is exactly why it didn't happen until that point in time. Either because it was so difficult for people to have traveled there, you never had enough of a group that was mobilized to do this, or for whatever reason. I can't tell you all the details, but practically, it didn't happen until then, and I think mostly
for... Ramban couldn't gather a group of Jews and say, you know what, family?
Who?
No. Ramban couldn't gather a group of Jews together.
I don't think so. I think it was very difficult. But we still have to address... We're dealing with a technical concern now. I mean, we're going with their writings. You know, why somebody did or didn't, you know, it's all speculation. There's no way to know.
But maybe the Ramban held to this shoe, and therefore he didn't put the...
But then he should have written somewhere.
He tells us
very emphatically about the mitzvah to live there. He clearly himself in his personal life was moser nefesh like crazy in order to get there. And we know he did, and he made it there. And he writes about that. Now, that wasn't to take it by force, but somewhere he could have mentioned, don't take it by force. He doesn't necessarily advocate that you need to set up a country there. I agree. But he definitely advocated living there. He did it himself. He writes, it's a mitzvah to say. So we still need, we've left open this Rambam, which is a stira all around. Right? We have this Rambam, he doesn't mention it, so that indicates it shouldn't be a mitzvah, like the Megillah Esther says. We have other valid Rishonim, the Tashvitz and the Trumas Hadesh perhaps, telling, or certainly the Tashvitz, excuse me, the Tashvitz in the Rambam, telling me that it is a mitzvah. So there's debate. We have the Rambam about Hilchos signing the documents and things of that nature to purchase the home on Shabbos, which indicate it's a mitzvah. But then we have the Rambam who says that it's mutter to live in Chutz Laretz. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in which he writes that if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah reshus. In that, if you go, you're mekayim the mitzvah, and once you go, we know there are isurim to leave, which are recorded by the Rishonim. And the Gemara talks about it. The Gemara discusses that the Rabbanim, when they would escort somebody who had a heter to leave Eretz Yisrael, they would escort him essentially up to Akko, and then they would stop, perhaps halfway through Akko, you could read through Tosos over there, how it works, and they would only go to the board and they'd have to stop. Because you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael unless you have a valid halachic reason to leave. So there's an issur to leave, but you didn't have to go from the start. But if you go, you're mekayim a mitzvah. So it'd be very comparable to our case of tzitzis that we started with. If you'd like to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, you can purchase a four-cornered beged and put on tzitzis on the corners. If you didn't want to do that, you didn't have to. Now, I didn't mention before, but I think it goes without saying somewhat, the minhag in Klal Yisrael nowadays, that tzitzis are readily available, is the minhag is that we wear them. So one may be in violation of a minhag, which may have the status of somewhat of a derabbanan, should they choose not to wear tzitzis in today's day and age when they're readily available. And certainly according to some Rishonim, it may be something that can cause more wrath, so to speak, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, angry. For other reasons, that's debatable. Ramban and Tosos. But either way, Lamaisa, it would be very comfortable. Should you choose to move there, you may. Now, Rav Moshe is perhaps readable in the Rambam. It certainly would answer the questions in the Rambam. It's mutter to live anywhere, with the exception of Mitzrayim, but you still could violate Shabbos to a degree, perhaps on the Rabban level, whatever that is, because there is a mitzvah. And there's a mitzvah to leave once you're there. So, and, you know, it's a little more difficult within the Trumas Hadeshim and Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen, though. They had to find reasons why it's mutter not to go. So, I think that no matter what, you're going to find that Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen and the Trumas Hadeshim had more of a chiyuv, per se, than the Rambam, because of the blanket heter that the Rambam says it's mutter to live anywhere. However, one thing I just want to point out, and I do think it really qualifies this mitzvah very strongly. I think one really needs to analyze the words of the Ramban. The Ramban, who's usually seen as touting and being the strongest advocate, and I think he is, but he also gives a lot of the personality of what the nature of this mitzvah is. And I think it's going to give us a very different perspective from what we were discussing tonight. I don't know if it's as pertinent to Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen and the Trumas Hadeshim, as I just mentioned. But I think it perhaps is pertinent to the Ramban, and possibly the Rambam. Obviously we saw Rav Moshe's Teretz, but I think once we have to answer up for the Ramban anyway, that this may be what the Rambam was doing also, if we go with the Tashbetz that assumes that the Rambam held its mitzvah. Obviously if we go with the Megillas Esther, we're going to be left off with some questions. So, the Ramban mentioned, if you recall, that there's a mitzvah to say from this week's parasha to live in Eretz Yisrael. And he writes, should we choose to take over a different nation, such as Bavel, he says Eretz Shinar, or other nations, we would then be in violation of a mitzvah to say. Why did he say that? Say very simply, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Should you choose not to, you're in violation. Why do I have to conquer a different land? It's totally extra. The nature of the pasuk from which the Ramban comes from The Horashtim says you have to inherit the land. It's clearly with the intent to make it your homeland. I don't know whether it's by war, by not by force, whatever it is. I'm not going to get into that. Get us back into that part of the Shavuos, the three Shavuos that we were talking about from before. But I know the Ramban is saying that it definitely is some nationalistic, if you will, the nation of Klal Yisrael, and I don't mean that in a political sense. I mean that the nation of Klal Yisrael, all of us as a nation, as Yechidim, to live in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, the Jewish people have to recognize Eretz Yisrael as their homeland. And they have to facilitate that that is the place where Jews live. They should not want any other land, nor should they try to facilitate any other land to be the Jewish homeland and the Jewish place of residence. That's clearly what the Ramban is saying. He's saying there's a mitzvah to say to make sure that Eretz Yisrael is for the Jews. He's not saying that you have to live there per se. He's saying we have to go there in order to establish Eretz Yisrael as the place basically for us. Because, why? Because he contrasts it. How do I know that first part? Because he contrasts it. The way to be over the assay is if we would find a different place and make that into our land. So what comes out is, I'm living in the States right now. But I don't want this to be the Jewish place. I want to facilitate that Eretz Yisrael is the place for Jews. So my personal residence isn't negating the ability for Eretz Yisrael to be the homeland of all Jews and the residence of all Jews, and it's not making that the States is being advocated to be the place where Jews should live.
Let's say all the Jews lived in the United States.
They may practically live here, but what are they doing? Are they trying to say this is the Jewish land? Or are they just saying, we happen to be passing through, or we're living here now? But we're living under the sovereign nation of the United States, and it's their nation. We can be citizens. We can identify as being Americans. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying it's not... We recognize that the Jewish homeland, though, is we do belong in Eretz Yisrael. And we want to facilitate that that should be done. If you look in this fashion, then Kiyum of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is facilitating that there be a Yishuv there. Now, that's certainly accomplished if you go and live there. Because the more Jews that are living there, you're populating that area and making that a Jewish homeland. So now, if it's on Shabbos, that's the time. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be able to make the kinyan, whatever it is. So you can be over whatever Yisurim they said. I technically can live anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, with the exception of Mitzrayim. So there's no stira there. So it makes sense. It would mean, though, that although the ultimate kiyum would perhaps for me to practically live there, but to a degree I can be Mekayim Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael if I facilitate Yishuv, maybe it's financially, maybe practically, by going there, helping out physically, whatever it is, but by facilitating the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, I am joining in because it's a mitzvah on the klal, not necessarily on the prat. Each prat, each yachid needs to contribute.
Why do I need to facilitate? Just say, eventually, when Shia comes, I ought to
go back there
to struggle, but for now I can't.
So you're not in violation of that, so you're just not doing it?
Well, no, I just don't know. Right.
You're not in violation, you're not doing it. But if you actively trying to establish Yishuv there, I'm not saying by force, and I'm not saying to set up a country, I'm not getting into the politics of that. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that's obviously humongous politics that have been going on since before we've been born. But what I'm saying is to facilitate people to live there, Jewish people to live there, to keep Torah and mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, that they should have a sound economy, that people could be able to live, and actually live there, to facilitate that and to contribute to that, you are to a degree being the kind of mitzvahs Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. It's my suggestion. And I think that fits in the words of the Ramban. I don't see the Rambam disagreeing. In fact, you're right, he might not list it as a mitzvah to say of Taryag. That means Hasbur, maybe it's like the Tashbait says, it's a mitzvah Klolius. At the same point in time, if this is the nature of the mitzvah, the ultimate is for me to be there, independent of the mitzvah, all those other facts that we said from the Gemara Ksubas, and they are recorded by the Rambam also about rolling around in the dust and how beautiful it is, and it is. You know, exactly what Chazal are telling us, obviously. And if we don't recognize it, then it's us. It's we who are lacking, not Eretz Yisrael. So that being the case, independent of the mitzvah, it's something that one should desire. But there is a mitzvah, and the ultimate would be to live there. But one can contribute and be mechayim it also, so long as he's facilitating, because it's a mitzvah on the tzibur. So as long as you facilitate the tzibur to be there, and you recognize that that's, it's not just an, when I say recognize, I don't mean in your head that you believe this. We're not talking about, you know, Yud Gimel Ikrim, this isn't number 14. It's that you are facilitating because you recognize, and therefore you're actively making sure that the Jewish population is to be living there to whatever degree possible. So the Gra may never have moved there personally, but the fact that he got his Talmidim to move and he inspired them, he was Mekayim, Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in this aspect of it, in my opinion. Now obviously Rabbi Chaim Cohen and the Truma Sadeshan seem to take it to the next level, because they hold that you need justification to personally not live there. So I'm not saying it's mem. I'm just suggesting in the Rambam and Ramban, I don't necessarily see conflict other than the technicality of the Rambam not listing it as a mitzvah, and that technicality the Tashbetz has answered by saying it's a mitzvah Claudius. So that's my take on it. Before giving my take, which I left for the end, anytime I'm going to give my personal take on something, I'll first try to get the more conventional mahalchim first. But I would encourage everybody, it's this week's parsha, it's a big mitzvah. I would encourage everybody, when you go through the parsha, you'll see, Verashtem, if you see the pasuk, you'll notice, I think it was a Perek Lam Gimel Pasuk Nun Gimel, I think. So you'll notice that, you look at the Ramban. You know, look at the words. Make of it what you'll make of it. You know, I'm giving you a suggestion, but see, I think it's very telling that he has to contrast to tell you how you're over the asay, as opposed to the simple answer of "I'm not living here." That's how I'm over the asay. That wasn't what he said. I think it's extremely telling.